Brother Spurgeon could come and be with us.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in church this morning.
Like the preacher told you, my name is Dave Spurgeon. It's a real treat for us, a privilege to be here. Several years ago, a preacher told us that there's a church on Staten Island with a big parking lot. And they told us there was a preacher that was real generous and accommodating and would let preachers that came through that believe this book, preach this book, want to make a difference in New York City, he would let them park here. And I started coming here about 6 years ago. And I'd plug in out there and experience some of your kindness and graciousness through the years. Got to meet a few of you. And then got to preach on Wednesday night three different times. And then finally met the pastor. I thought he was pastoring in the Philippines too, because every time I came, that's where he was. But the Lord has allowed us to become friends, and we've been over to Manhattan a couple times together now, and this is a real privilege for me. I'm glad to be here. Amen. And I'm glad that you're here. And so we're going to open God's book now and try to get something out of the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8 this morning. I guess this is on. Amen. Good. Acts chapter 8 this morning, and we'll begin reading in verse 26. Acts chapter 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Let's pray again. Father, we love you this morning, and we come to you in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are assembled here in that magnificent name, Lord God. Thank you for your holy book. And now, Lord God, we do pray and ask that your Spirit would move amongst us this morning and do what only you can do, speak to our hearts from your Word of God. Lord, there are needs in this room that you can meet, and I pray this morning that we would allow you to meet them. Father, I pray for guidance and unction and leading and mercy, Lord God, this morning as I undertake this great responsibility to try to commit the Word of God to these precious folks that have come out today. I'm not up to the task, Lord. Father, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and I pray you'd see fit to speak to us today as only you can. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You've got three men here in the passage that we read. We got the first one mentioned in verse 27. It says, Amen. Amen of Ethiopia. You've got the second one mentioned in verse 31. And he said, How can I accept some man? Some man should guide me. And down there in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man. We're going to look at those three men this morning for a little while. This is the story of those three men. I call this the three men of Acts chapter 8. There's a creative title for you. Amen. Amen. And but these three men are very different. Very different. And we'll take them one at a time. Let's start, how about this? Let's start the beginning. Let's start with man number one. Let's start with verse number 27. And it says, Philip noticed so in verse 26, the Spirit spake to Philip and generally called him to a direction, arise and go toward the south. And what you know is that Philip not only heard the call, but he heeded the call. And he went. And he didn't have much specifics to go on, but he went in the direction in which the Lord told him to go. And built, lo and behold, he found out why the Lord told him to go that way, because there was a man with a need. And he arose, verse 27, and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. And there's some things said about this fella, and we've already read it. But it said he was of great authority. He was a powerful man. He was a very powerful man. He had great authority. Perhaps he was decked out in the uniform, amen, of a general, amen, as he made the trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem in a very, very nice, extraordinary, expensive chariot, a chariot befitting a man of great authority. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. We know about this fella. He's no wimp. Amen. I mean, it's no small thing to make that journey by yourself. There's no indication in the passage anybody was with him. This wasn't official business. He wasn't on the business of the queen. It didn't have anything to do with his official function in the kingdom of the queen of Ethiopia. This man went of his own accord, and as far as we can tell from the Bible, went by himself. He went up to Jerusalem, the passage tells us, for to worship. He was a man of great authority. He was no wimp, amen, if he made that journey by himself. Obviously, he's a very trustworthy man. He's a man of character and discipline and integrity, because he's got the charge over all the treasury. You're not going to put somebody in charge of your money you can't trust, amen. Probably an intelligent man as well. My daughter just finished her ninth school year. We homeschool out there in that motorhome. We've redefined the term school bus. Amen. We don't ride it to school. It's where we have school. Amen. And I got to watch some of her algebra classes on video school. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't have to take algebra. Some of you kids probably ought to say amen, except for you do. Amen. I tell you something, this fellow right here was entrusted with the treasury of the kingdom of Ethiopia. He's probably a pretty intelligent fella. Amen. Powerful. He's brave. He's intelligent. He's trustworthy. And what else do we know about him? This man, man number one this morning, beloved, is a religious man. He's a religious man. Again, he left his home and made this journey, for the purpose of worshiping, at the end of verse 27, in Jerusalem. He was a Jewish proselyte, and he had left his home country to go up to Jerusalem at the appointed time and worship. We know some things about man number one. His name isn't given, but we sure know some things about his character and his characteristics, do we not? Passage indicates that the absolutely most significant thing about this man is that he is lost. He's lost. What do you mean? He got off course. He lost his map. He's out there in the desert, and God sent somebody down there to get him back on course? No, not at all. Not at all. He was lost in that he did not know that his sins had been paid for on the cross of Calvary, and that if he died that moment, being rich and trustworthy and honorable and brave and of great authority and even religious, at this point in his life, when God sent the witness, man number two, to him, if he'd have died, he'd have died in his sin and he would have went right to hell. That is the most significant thing about him. But we also find him reading what portion of Scripture he had. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And that tells us this. That tells us that he wasn't satisfied with the religious experience he just had in Jerusalem. Although he went there searching, although he went there and he partook of the religious rigmarole that was going on there, this man with an honest heart, he still was honest enough with himself to admit that there was something missing. And he's searching the Scripture to find what it is. And it's no accident, of course, that he's reading the very passage that describes the crucifixion, Isaiah 53, of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he needed. And the Lord took note of that. The Lord took note of his honesty. The Lord took note of his desire for the truth. How do you know? Because he sent him man number two. Amen. And let me say to you this morning, you may be just like that fellow right there in here today. Maybe you're intelligent and moral and honest. You may be a good person. You may be the best person in your community. Amen. You may be hardworking and even very successful in what it is that you do. You may be just like this guy right here. Hey, welcome to church this morning. I'm glad you're here. You may even be religious. And we're glad you've came this morning. And that all that may very well, those things may apply to you, but you may be also like this fellow right here. You may be unsaved. Amen. Say, what do you mean? Well, if you were to die today, you don't know. I said no. I said have confidence in what the Word of God says about knowing that your sins are forgiven, and that if you were to step out into eternity today, and you could, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you're in here this morning, you might be, an outstanding member of the community. You might be a great blessing in your neighborhood. You might be a joy to be around. But if you're not saved in here this morning, you're like man number one. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope it is an indication that you're searching for the truth, because the Lord would sure enough like to give you the truth from his holy book this morning. Three men of Acts chapter 8. Amen. Man number one. I've described him to you. Amen. Some of you were like him before you got saved. But somebody may be in here that's just like that right now. We're glad you're in church this morning. But could I remind you that millions of Americans are in church this morning? Boy, if just coming through the doors of a church, putting some money in a plate, and singing a few songs that get you into heaven, there'd be a lot more folks going than really are going. It's going to take the shed blood of a man that I'm going to tell you about when we get to him. But if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, let me just remind you again, you're just like this fella here. We're going to call him man number one. He represents you. Now, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In verse 26, you have a general call, and the Spirit of the Lord gave Philip a direction, but now you've got a specific call. And he's telling him, he's showing him, I've got an open door for you, and I want you to go right over there, and I want you to talk. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been out there on the street and know that God had given an opportunity and opened a door and desired for you to go over and hand out a tract or invite someone to church or say something about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ? That's what happened here. The Spirit of the Lord said, go near and draw thyself to that very chariot. Why? Because the Lord's interested in every soul, not willing that any should perish. Christian, Philip in here in this story, in this passage, represents you. Amen. He represents the believer. He represents that one with a tender heart, full of gratitude for what Christ did on the cross. And he's made himself available to be used in the Spirit of God, to be a blessing and tell others. I just find it amazing that in two passages, two verses in the passage that we've read, you have the Spirit of the Lord talking to him. Talking directly to him. Amen. He's not doing what he's doing because of obligation or training or because he knows he's supposed to. This guy's sensitive to the still small voice of God. He hears it and he just obeys it. And I wonder, can I ask you, when's the last time the Spirit talked to you? I mean, talked to you. Has the Lord ever been able to impress on your heart specifically to go knock on a door or to hand out a tract or to say something to a coworker or a schoolmate or a stranger on the street? I'm talking about there's things we do because we know we should. But I mean, the beloved this morning, are you sensitive to the Spirit of God? Are you getting up in the day asking God for an opportunity, maybe a person that you could tell about the Lord or invite to church? That's the way we ought to wake up. That's the way we ought to face the day, looking for an opportunity, like Philip, to say something about our Savior. Man number one this morning represents you. But Christian, man number two, it represents you if you're lost. But man number two, if you're saved there this morning, represents you, man number two. Amen. Philip lived for the opportunity to tell others. And you can see that by verse 30. It says, when the Spirit spoke to him in verse 29, it says in verse 30, he ran. He ran. He jumped at the chance. That's what he lived for. My question for you is, what do you live for? First Corinthians, I said, what do you live for? I could ask for a show of hands. Are you saved? Have you repented of your sin? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is your name in the book of life? Are you going to heaven when you die? And hands will go up all over the room. Sunday morning. Amen. Folks come to church Sunday morning. Christians come to church Sunday morning, because you're supposed to, because you should, because it's a good place to go. But my question wouldn't be that. My question would go more like this. What are you known for? Who do you live for? Well, that'll be evidenced during the course of the week. Amen. It's a crying shame and an indictment against the Bible-believing crowd that sometimes we only make it into church once a week and think we're doing God a favor by doing that. I tell you what, if we'd ever get this thing down of being faithful, God would do us a favor. We want God to meet with us this week, and he wants to meet with us this week. Amen. Let me ask you, what do you live for? That Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if any man love God. You love God this morning? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. You love God? You know he loves you. You know he died for you. But do you love God? The Bible says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. So we're at church this morning. So, but what about at work? What about at the neighborhood? What about what about at the family reunion? I mean, what's your testimony? What's known about you out there? This isn't Christianity. This is where we come to get preaching and teaching. This is where we come to get to praise and to give and to hear their request and weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. But Bible-believing Christianity starts when you leave here. And I'll commend you on this church. I have the testimony of having a burden for souls. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm speaking to you individually this morning. If any man love God, the same is known of him. I'll tell you what was known of Philip. Amen. Not by his testimony, but by his actions, by his life. Amen. He ran to this guy. He ran to this guy. And here's what he said, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest. Well, here's a guy. He's just come to Jerusalem. He's got his Bible tucked under his arm. Actually, he's doing better than that. He's got whatever portion he has. He's got it out. He's got it open. He's reading it. He's reading it audibly. Amen. He's got more courage than some Christians I know. He doesn't care what other people think about what he's reading. Not that I think there's a lot of traffic on the road wherever he's at. But Philip heard him reading. He didn't come up and say, "Hey, what are you reading?" He asked him. He understood. And he could tell something about the way that he was reading his Bible that he didn't understand it. He perceived that he was religious, for sure, but that he was lost. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Amen. Well, I got to think, you know, based on 21st century Christianity, I got to wonder if when the Spirit said, "Go right over there, go and draw yourself to that chariot." It was probably like a Lexus chariot, you know, or maybe even a Rolls, who knows. You know, it's probably pretty fancy. Philip, what kind of chariot did he have? None. He didn't even have a horse. We don't even see, I guess he was on foot. And I wonder if he was like us, if he didn't think, "Man, that guy's not going to listen to me." I wonder if Philip maybe balked for a moment. And like I confess, I have at times when I felt that God had opened the door, given an opportunity, and I thought, "Man, they're not going to want to hear this. I wonder what they're going to think of me." That's what keeps some of you from witnessing. You're worried about what they're going to think. Amen. Boy, I'm glad that Philip overcame that. Amen. At some point in his Christian life, say, "Do you think he was like that?" My Bible says all flesh is as grass. I don't think these Bible guys were much different than you and I. Amen. But the book says you're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an Ethiopian eunuch in heaven today thanking God that Philip had grown to the place that he responded to the Spirit's call to go near and join himself with that chariot. Amen. The second man represents you. He said in verse 31, "How can I?" After, in response to, "Understand is what thou readest." His response was this, and he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" Man number one is the lost man in verse 27. But man number two, and represents you, Christian, is the some man. And what chance do they have if some man, some lady, some young person that claims the name of Jesus Christ, that knows what he did on the cross of Calvary, what chance do they have if some man doesn't guide them? They don't have any chance at all. Amen. I thank God that this Ethiopian eunuch was an honest man. Why? Well, he admitted that he had a need. Amen. He didn't look down and say, "Who do you think you're talking to?" He didn't look down and see this evangelist probably definitely not arrayed in the finest linen of the day. Amen. He didn't look down and say, "Man, not only do you not have a Lexus, you don't even have a car." Amen. You follow me? I mean, he didn't have a fancy chariot. He didn't have a horse decked out with gold and silver and all the fancy stuff this guy probably had. Thank God the Ethiopian eunuch was honest enough to look down and answer the preacher's question. And instead of saying, "Hey, I'm all right." How many times have you asked somebody if they knew where they were going to go if they died? And they respond by saying, "I'm all right. I'm all right." You're not even close to being all right till your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God this powerful, educated, brave, trustworthy religious man was honest. Thank God he admitted that he had a need he couldn't meet, and he responded to Philip's question by saying, "How can I accept some man guide me?" And I think about that, and I thank God that his pride in his position and maybe his accomplishments and maybe his social status didn't keep him from being honest with the man of God. And I fear today that there's men in hell and ladies in hell and even young people today, because even if they would inwardly admit that they have a need to have their sins forgiven, their pride keeps them from admitting it. And I'll tell you what, that pride will put you right in a lake of fire, and I pray that you don't let it if you're in here and you're not saved. Please don't let worrying about what somebody else will think keep you from getting the help that you can get through Jesus Christ this morning. Three men. First man, lost man. If you're in here today and you don't know you'd go to heaven, he represents you. You might have a lot of things going for you. Amen. You may never kill anybody. Maybe you've never been to penitentiary. Maybe you've never done a lot of the things. That's what people say. Well, I'm going to heaven. I never did this. I never did that. My Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not going to be compared to so-and-so. You're not going to be compared to somebody that did things that in your mind constitute maybe an eternity in hell. That's not how you're going to be judged. You're going to be compared to Jesus Christ. And friend, you're going to come short. Had not some man come along to guide this guy, he would have remained religious, reading his Bible. Amen. He would have probably continued to go to the feast every year. Amen. Probably had devotion and all. You can mark it down. He is baptized. And then when his life was over, he'd have died and went right to hell. And I pray that doesn't happen to you this morning. If you're in here and you're not saved, the purpose of you being here, maybe not your purpose. Maybe you came to because somebody invited you. Maybe you come because you know you should. Maybe you've been coming for a while. But the Lord's purpose in you being here is for you to put your faith and trust in Him once and for all and get this thing settled. Amen. Now, if you're in here and you're a Christian, you need to understand this. You need to understand that you need to be the some man in this passage that can guide people like man number one to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that ought to be able to help them understand their great need. And you can be. You can be. Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God that this isn't some a bunch of religion that you got to go off and study somewhere and come back and lead some pious life. Thank God he 400 years ago, the Lord saw fit to put the Bible in English and every one of us can have the inspired, inerrant word of God and see what it says about us and for us. And we can learn enough Bible to tell somebody else how to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ once and for all. Somebody told you. So you ought to be able to tell somebody. Why? Because Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. We like the first part. You know, we get saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. We want to be saved. We don't want to go to hell. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we stop right there. But the passage doesn't stop right there, and the scripture doesn't stop right there. And it says, for whosoever believes in him should not be ashamed. Some of us lived out there in that world too long. But we weren't ashamed to let other people know what we cared about and what we loved. It'd be a crying shame if we were ashamed of Jesus Christ now. Paul wasn't. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And there have been more than a few occasions where I've been very glad Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Yes, I mean, where would we be? You think there'd be a church on Staten Island if Paul threw the towel in way back then? The missionary that got the work going all throughout Europe and eventually came here due to the Wesley brothers and others. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, you can take that right back to Paul not being ashamed. I don't want to be. I wasn't ashamed of what I was when I was lost. I am now, but I wasn't ashamed then, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus today. And you shouldn't be either. You should be like man number two, and you should be not only able, but willing. You should desire an opportunity to guide a lost sinner to Jesus Christ. Amen. Three men. Three men in the passage. Three men of Acts 8. Man number one, he's a lost man in search of the truth. And that might be you in here this morning. And I'll tell you what, you can find the truth. And we've got the truth. And it isn't our opinion, and it isn't our church covenant, and it's this thing right here. It's this King James Bible where you can just see what God's got to say on the matter, and then, Lord willing, you can make the right decision. And you don't have to worry about getting tricked or conned or joining some social club. That's not what this is, man. This is a bunch of people that just never got over the fact that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for them. I never got over it. I don't ever want to get over it. Amen. Man, if you're in here and you're saved, then man number two is the man of the saved man that's supposed to be able to help a lost and dying world, and that ought to be you. And you got no excuse. If I was in a church where they didn't preach the truth and they didn't teach the truth and nobody ever went out and did any evangelizing, then it wouldn't be your fault. But if you're not able or desiring to have part of bringing others to Christ, it is your fault in this church. I know what you preach, I know what you teach, and I know what you do. So if you're not involved, that's nobody's fault but your own. And you need to get on an old-fashioned altar, perhaps today or this week or in your seat or somewhere, and you ought to ask God to forgive you for that thing and get involved. Some people are involved. I sit around and hear prayer requests. Isn't it exciting when you hear that somebody's got a family member that got saved and God's dealing with other ones? Doesn't that light a spark in you? Doesn't that get you excited? It ought to. Does me, it means God's still in the saving business. I got people I'd like to see saved. When he saves somebody else's sister or brother, that gives me hope he's going to save somebody in my family. Man number one, lost man. Man number two, saved man, serving. But you know, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? And that was the passage in Isaiah he had read. Of himself or some other man. Now we're going to get to man number three. And you know, this man number three he asked me if it was some other man. And let me say to you this morning, it definitely was. It was definitely some other man, because there's only one man in the history of the human race that ever had a testimony like we read here, like he quoted in Isaiah. And that's him. Him. Say him. Yeah, him. Amen. That's the lovely Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what he needed. His virtue, his power, his success, it wasn't going to get him to heaven. You know what he needed? He didn't need to hear that he came from a country that worshipped idols and they were all a bunch of pagans and heathen and wicked. And they probably were. He needed to hear about Jesus Christ. He needed to hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You saved there this morning?
Amen.
You fell under the whosoever clause. Amen. Same as me. That book says in Romans 16:1, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone, unto salvation, to everyone that believeth. That's how I got in, man. I didn't measure up. I didn't get spiritual. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got saved because God made it available to the likes of us. Boy, I'm glad. Amen. Philip preached unto this fellow Jesus because he needed to know that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day. That's what he needed to hear. He needed to hear all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. If there was ever a guy that thought maybe his righteousness and his goodness was going to get him some favor with God, it might have been this guy. Amen. You might be like that in here today. You might think that your virtue and your success and your goodness is going to buy you some virtue with God. My friend, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 and verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, this fellow needed to have Jesus preached to him just like you did. And just like you do if you're in here and you're not saved today. Let me help you with this thing. This thing about getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven is not complicated. It's not deep. It's not hard. If it was, I wouldn't have been able to get it. John chapter 14 and verse 6, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then for hardheads like us, he added this, no man. Say, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was Jesus Christ speaking himself. Amen. Paul preached unto him Jesus to let him know he had a need, like we sang. He had a need. This man had a need that he couldn't meet. Jesus Christ met that need and paid that debt, and he didn't know it. And why did he do it? He did it out of love. Love we can't comprehend, but love we'd be foolish to pass on. You'd be foolish to miss this thing. Again, in Romans chapter 9, I'm sorry, chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible said, if thou, not we, thou, this is personal. Amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Philip preached unto him, Jesus, I'm preaching unto you, Jesus. That's what we need. We need Jesus Christ to do what only he can do. We need to quit trying to do what we can't do and let him do what only he can do. And if you're in here and you're saved today, you need to put your faith and trust in his righteousness and forsake your own. And if you're in here and you are saved, you need to start preaching unto others Jesus because they need it, man. It'll help you out. I tell you what, if you get more closely acquainted with the Jesus that you and I have been left here to represent, it would help us clean up a lot of other issues in our life. And there's a lot of other struggles that we keep getting bogged down with that we wouldn't have if our focus was to let a lost and dying world like Phillips know that they need Jesus Christ. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Boy, God made it so simple that a lot of people miss it. God made it so simple that church people miss it. I mean, I came from the world of drugs and dope houses and bars, and I was out there a long time, and I'm ashamed of all that, and probably all the 41 guys that I buried when I was in the motorcycle gang, probably every one of them's in hell, and I was headed there. And then about a dozen or so that I have heard about in the 16 years I've been saved have died, and as far as I know, they're in hell. And the other 15 or 20 that I was closely associated with that are doing life in a penitentiary somewhere, they're going to die and go to hell if somebody doesn't take them the gospel. And you think, yeah, I can see that, man. These guys were crooks and they were all these things. But friend, that, what a crying shame, but a sad reality that people go to the same hell right from a church pew that those crooks that I used to run with go. Amen. For what? For not putting their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And he made it so easy. And if you're not in here and you're not saved, you can be saved and you should be saved. And I hope you'd be as honest as man number one in the passage tonight. You can get this thing. So you don't have, I'm not selling anything. Amen. I'm not trying to con you. There's no membership fee to this thing. Amen. Amen. I don't want your email address. Nobody's going to call you. But with an honest heart, would you get a hold of the fact that you can have your sins forgiven Amen. By putting your faith and trust in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. I got in a jail cell. How easy was that? How much easier it would have been if I'd have just responded to the invitation that Pastor Gresham preached 3 weeks earlier. But I got it, thank God. I got it, and I still got it. 16 years later, they said it'll never last. It's lasting pretty good, amen. Amen. Three men of Acts 8 this morning. Three very different men. I'll go over it again. If you're in here and you're not saved, you're just like man number one. and you're just like him in this way, you need to know the same things that guy needed to know. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord will save you this morning. What do you need? You need an honest heart. That's all you need. Amen. And if you are saved, you're supposed to be like man number two. You're supposed to be able to guide people to Jesus. You're supposed to be able to look and you're supposed to be looking for opportunities. You are. Amen. And you can. He told the maniac Gadara in Mark chapter 5, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee and have that compassion on thee. That guy hadn't been saved very long. That guy didn't go to Bible school. That guy didn't go through the soul winning program. That guy had been saved, and therefore he could tell somebody else. If you're saved, you can tell somebody what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. You might not be able to answer every doctrinal question or come up with a counter to every one of the cults' questions. Maybe not at first, but if you're saved, you can tell a person how to be saved. If you can't, how can you be saved?
Amen.
If you don't know that? Man number two is you, Christian. The most important one in the passage is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save a soul. Amen. This invitation, I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. This invitation is for everybody in here. If you're in here and you're saved, and you haven't been the witness you ought to be, this invitation is for you. And what does that mean? That means we're going to invite you to bow your head and pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. And then we're going to pray that you ask God to help you be the witness you ought to be, because you ought to be. So if you haven't been what you need to be, this is a good time to start. Amen. And if you're in here and you're not saved, this invitation is for you to let one of us open a Bible. And generally, where I come from, a man will open a Bible with a man and a lady with a lady. And whether it's up here or in a room, it doesn't matter. We can show you what the Bible says about getting your sins forgiven. Not our opinion. My opinion's not worth any more than yours. That's not what I'm going to be preaching this week, my opinion. That's why God gave us a book.
Amen.
Why don't you get in on what the book says? Three men. Which one are you? Number one, number two. No matter what, the key to this whole thing is man number three.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not what you think compared to what I think. It's not about where you came from or where you live. It's not about none of that. It's about Him.
Yes.
And it is more about Him every time the sun comes up, because we're getting closer and closer and closer to His return.
Amen.
And every one of us in here knows somebody that wouldn't go if He came back today. And you might be in here, and if the Lord came back to take His church out of here, you wouldn't go. And you can do something about that. And I pray that you would. Father in heaven, I love you, and I come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of Scripture and the opportunity and the liberty that you gave to preach this simple message. But, Lord, it's an important message. Father, there's nothing more important than getting your sins forgiven while you can. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and the first thing he asked for was mercy. And he didn't get it. It is imperative to ask for that mercy while we're breathing. And if there's one in here today that's not saved, I pray that today they would get in on the mercy of God and put their faith and trust in the shed blood of Christ once and for all. And Lord, in this busy city with so many things to do and so many distractions and such a fast pace, it is easy for Christians to get off track and caught up in the pace. And I pray that perhaps this morning some would be provoked to think, It is time to get our priorities lined back up with God. And the Bible doesn't say we can't enjoy a lot of things. The Bible just says for us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and all our soul and all our minds first. The first and great commandment. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbor and ourselves and whatever else you leave room for in our lives. I pray that you bless that. But Father, we are guilty of being entangled in the affairs of this life. May we begin this conference by getting unentangled a bit. I'm glad today, Lord, that you are a need-meeting God.
Amen.
And I pray that the folks in here today, whatever the need is, they would allow you to meet it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. You come, and we're going to stand together now. Get your hymn book, if you would. We're going to sing a song. And if God spoke to you this morning in some way, if you're a believer here today, you're saved, and God spoke to you this morning, then you need to respond to the Lord today. Don't let the Word of God go in one ear and out the other. Don't be just a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the things that God spoke to you about today. Let's all stand together. Get our songbook, Brother Pat. What are we going to do?
252. Only trust Him. 252.
Let's just start with this verse for a second. If you're saved and you just need to come right now this morning, you can come here. You can kneel at your seat. You can talk to God where you are if you want to come right here and pray. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I think the message is clear. It doesn't need any explanation from me. I can't add anything to that. God made it clear this morning. You know what you need to do if you're saved here today. God intended you and I to be just like Philip, faithful, sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God and interested in the souls of men, concerned more about those around us that are going to hell than about our own needs and our own problems and our own situation. God left us here to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Are you being an ambassador this morning? Are you being a missionary to your neighbors? Are you being a preacher of the gospel today to the people around you that only you may have an opportunity to reach? You're going to be able to get to somebody that nobody else is ever going to be able to get to. Are you being faithful with that responsibility? If you need to deal with the Lord this morning, let's do it right now on the first verse. Get it right with God this morning, will you? All right, let's sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Beginning of the matter for a child of God. That's when your life really began. That's when your living for Christ really began. Now, since that time that you knew Christ, you came to know the Lord as your Savior, can you honestly say today that things are right between you and God? You've been faithful as a Christian. You're serving Him like you should right now. You're doing the things you know you should be doing. Now, if you're not, listen, we're here today for that. Not to compare ourselves with one another, not to measure ourselves by one another, but let's be honest with God today. If God's own people can't be honest with Him, how do we expect the lost to be honest with God? If you can't be honest with God and you're a child of His today and you're saved and you won't be honest with God today, then how can you and I pray for and expect the lost sinner in this room today to be honest with God? It's got to start. The judgment has to start at the house of God. It has to start with God's people. That message spoke to my heart. It provoked me. It convicted me. It made me want to just get on my knees and repent of some things and change.
change some things and get some things right with God. I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But God didn't leave us here, man, just to have a good time. He left us here to be a witness to this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? If you're not, then friend, you need to make it right today. Don't go home. There's something missing in your heart today. Something not right. Don't go home the same way you came in that door. Let's do something about it today. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Nobody's looking. We're not writing down any names, but this is between you and God. Will you be honest this morning? Christian, would you be honest with God this morning and say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Pastor, something between me and my Savior today is not right. And I know there's some things I need to make right. And that message spoke to my heart today. Pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that today? You just lift your hand and put it right back down. All right? Oh, man. A number of hands here, folks. Number of hands. You're being honest with God. It's not between me and you. It's between you and the Lord. Anyone else here today? You'd say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But that message spoke to my heart. I know there's some things I need to be doing, some priorities I need to rearrange in my life. I got to change some things today. And I thank the Lord He spoke to me from that message. Is anybody else here this morning? Just between you and the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else here today? Someone else. You say, God spoke to my heart. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Now listen. Now, God requires of you a response. God requires of you an answer. God requires of you, speak to Him this morning. Make it right with Him this morning. It doesn't have to be done at some geographical spot in this room. You can do it where you are. If you feel comfortable coming here, you want to come here and make it right at the altar, you can do that. But do something.
Amen.
Do something. Don't just listen and go home the same way. Do something. Get it right this morning. Please, respond to the Spirit of God this morning. Let's start this week, this Bible conference, off the right way. Let's not go out of here hypocrites. Let's do it right. God spoke to you. Let's make it right this morning. And before we sing that next verse, let me ask you, if you're here this morning, dear friend, maybe you came into this room today, and if you're honest, you'd say this morning, you may be like that man number one, maybe successful, maybe a blessing to your family and your neighbors, maybe a wonderful person, maybe religious, just like that eunuch. Maybe you even read the scriptures like Brother Mike Hakeem did. I remember when I met him long before he was saved, he was reading his Bible every day. Maybe you're that way. And maybe you just needed someone to show you from the Bible that salvation is in Christ, not in your religion.
Amen.
Salvation is in a Savior, not in doing those deeds, those good works of righteousness that you think are going to qualify you for heaven. Friend, maybe that's you today. Maybe that describes you today. I wonder, is there anyone like that in this room this morning? You'd say, that's me. That's me. If I died today, I don't think I'd go to heaven. Yes, ma'am. Is there someone else today? If I died today, I don't think I would go to heaven. I don't believe I'm saved. Please pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone at all? We're not going to pounce on you. But would you be honest with God today? You'd say, I know I have a need in my heart. And if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me this morning. Anyone else? Lift your hand here this morning. Anyone else? Lift it up and put it right back down today. What about you, sir? Ma'am, what about you? Are you sure today? Do you know for certain? Have you been saved? Have you ever trusted and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever really, truly, with all of your heart, believed upon His sacrifice on that cross and His work on that cross for you as all you would ever need for righteousness? That's your righteousness. He becomes your righteousness. Have you ever seen that and understood that? Have you ever believed on Him and called on Him? Anyone at all? Say, please pray for me. I know I need to do that. Pray for me. Anyone else? This morning, if you lifted your hand and you know you need to be saved, you can either come as we sing this next verse. You can come here. Someone will take the Bible. If you're a man, we'll get a couple of our guys to take the scriptures, talk to you privately and briefly. If you're a woman, we'll have a couple of our ladies take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Please, respond to the Spirit of God today if He spoke to your heart. All right, let's sing that next verse, and you do what you need to do right now, all right? On that second verse now, here we go.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson blood, that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
And you are just not ready to make a decision about it this morning. You heard what the preacher was saying, and you know it's true. But for some reason, you're just not ready this morning to make a decision. And we'd like to pray for you that sometime soon, if you won't do it today, we're going to pray that the Lord will work in your heart and help you to realize that you need to get saved and to do it soon. Is there anyone like that today? You just say, I know I need to be saved. I appreciate your prayers for me that the Lord would make it clear in my mind and my heart. Anyone at all, would you lift your hand and put it down this morning? Anyone like that at all? Anyone at all? All right. Well, Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for the preaching. Lord, we thank you for your word today. What a blessing it was to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of it, the power of it. I thank you for the preacher and his family. We pray, Lord God, that you'd help us throughout this week, that, Lord, we just wouldn't have church services, Lord, but we would meet with Thee. We know you want to do something here, Lord, in this place and in our hearts. Help our folks to be faithful, Lord, to these meetings. Help us, Lord, to put everything else aside for these few days and just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on your word. And, Lord, I know, Lord, some good will come. Even this morning, Lord, you promised that your word will not return unto you void. It will accomplish the thing that you sent it out to do today in our hearts. And Lord, there is work being done. And I pray, Lord, for those in this room that I fear, Lord, are going to walk out of here still unsaved. Lord, they've heard the gospel more than once. And for some reason, Lord, are just not willing or ready or able, Lord, to trust you and embrace those promises. I pray you'd help them, Lord. I pray you'd help them to realize they have no promise that tomorrow they'll still be alive to make that decision. Tomorrow, Lord, they could be dead and in hell. And I pray, Lord, you'd help them. Lord, I thank you for the time together this morning. I thank you for those, Lord, in whose hearts you work today. Lord, to you goes all the glory and credit. And we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, you'd bring us back together tonight. Bless the meeting tonight. Prepare our hearts for that meeting tonight. Help the preacher, Lord, that he would know your mind and know the message that he should bring. Tonight, I pray you just use him tonight in a great way. Thank you for this time together, Lord. We pray now as we leave this place that you may give safety and mercy. Help us to be a testimony wherever we might go this afternoon. And Lord, though we leave the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, help us to remember we don't leave your presence. And Lord, I pray that we walk before thee and, Lord, live worthy of thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, and God bless you. 6 o'clock tonight.